Hey there, welcome along. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. Of course, it's me, Damien, back with the 9to5 Google Daily, this time for September 21st, 2020. This is our super quick rundown of all the biggest Google-related stories we've been talking about over the weekend and the past 24 hours. So a big update to Gmail that brought Chat, Meet and Rooms to one central hub was announced in July. That is now rolling out to enterprise G Suite customers, while all personal accounts already have that dedicated Meet tab. Following those announcements, the company is readying a facelift for Gmail, and it starts with a new icon, if a teaser Google sent us directly is to be believed. It's clear based upon the image that Google sent us that the company is at least working on a new logo. This wouldn't be surprising as in February, Google Maps greatly simplified its logo to a pin formed by the four company colours. Photos in June also dropped its realistic shape, which was a pinwheel, for very simple semicircles. Most Google services have slowly been getting new icons to reflect this four-colour branding. As for the logo itself, this technical drawing likely shows how the new Gmail icon is put together. We clearly see an M, but the envelope icon, part of the current icon which has dated back to 2013, is no longer explicitly there. The shape is now only implied, with the white space above and below the centre chevron working to achieve that. It takes advantage of the blank backgrounds that are modern on Android and iOS smartphones. Meanwhile, it's flat and the outer corners are much more rounded than before, fitting with Google's latest design language. Speaking of modern looks, this is indeed an uncoloured drawing, but if we were to look at other first-party icons, Gmail in all likelihood will incorporate green, blue, yellow and red. The service has long been synonymous with that last colour, but accents have greatly declined across Google products. Red in the app today is primarily consigned to the Compose, Fab and Bottom Bar. Historically for Google, new logos are accompanied by broader service redesigns, so it's not a stretch to imagine that Gmail will be getting the same treatment to some degree in the coming months. Two distinct versions of Google Pay exist today. The first is aimed at countries where NFC-based payments are widely adopted, while the other is for Google's supposed next billion users. The latter version of Google Pay, known as Tez, is getting a Flutter rewrite that will serve as a basis for global expansion. The Google Pay team late on Friday evening announced that it selected the Flutter SDK to drive its global product development. Google Pay, or Tez in brackets, as the app is officially named on the Play Store, lets users pay bills, top up phone data plans, get local bank loans, buy train tickets, and send money with rudimentary messaging capabilities. As one app for everything, Tez is so successful in India and Asia that Google wants to bring that model around the world. The Flutter version of Google Pay has now, though, entered the open beta stage for those in India and Singapore. Android users can now sign up, though, via the Play Store. In the future, the team is looking forward to launching Google Pay on Flutter to everyone across the world on iOS and Android. At this point, it's unknown what UI or functionality users in each country will see, though. However, it is clear that it will be powered by Flutter. Stateside, Google Pay next year will add digital bank accounts, while a shopping-focused revamp is also rumoured. Those two capabilities could be built upon the Flutter version if today's announcement is any indication. The non-Tez Pay client is also in the process of rolling out a bottom barless design, which we mentioned last week. The Android Earthquake Alerts system turns Android phones running the mobile operating system into mini seismometers. Following the earthquake over the weekend in Los Angeles, Google shared an interesting visualization of what Android phones detected. Android engineering VP Dave Burke tweeted a video showing Los Angeles and the surrounding area moments after the earthquake. P waves, which were shown as yellow dots, appear first and are followed by red ones, aka the S wave. The concentric circles are the expected locations of the P and S waves. As the latter one passes, you see the yellow markers turn red. That data is then compiled in real time. Google is not yet using the system to send alerts. Rather, Google surfaces a card in search for users looking up earthquake or other related queries. It then asks you if you felt shaken to share fast and accurate view of the impacted area. Over the coming year, Google will actually send notifications and is targeting this system for areas that do not have a ground system of seismometers already in place. Meanwhile, in addition to this phone-based network, Google in August integrated the early warning shake alert system from California and the United States Geological Survey. It successfully fired over the weekend and started with an earthquake nearby notification that tells you to expect shaking and how far away the tremor was, as well as the estimated magnitude. Tapping opens a card-based feed of useful information and safety tips and a map with your location from the epicenter. And finally, the Pixel Book was announced as made by Google's first laptop in October of 2017. It's since been followed by the Pixel Slate and the Pixel Book Go. 3 years later, though, the Pixel Book is now out of stock on the Google Store. The first party store in the US lists all three configurations and the refurbished model as out of stock. There's always the distinct chance that inventory will return, but the current designation matches the Pixel 3a and the Pixel 4. It's no longer available in the UK, while the Canadian store only has the highest end model available. Those are the only three countries where Google offered its Chromebook, and we've reached out for Google for comment on this. The Chrome OS device dates back to 2013 and the latter 2015 Chromebook Pixel. The Pixelbook remains a 3x2 display that is optimal for web browsing and lets you see more of a web page. It's mostly metal or aluminium and conforms to the early Pixel phone design language by featuring a Gorilla Glass shade and G logo in the top left corner. It's a 2x1 that can be used as a tablet, which the OS is getting increasingly optimised for, and features stylus support. There are unfortunately rather thick black bezels surrounding that touchscreen. Other hardware aspects include two USB-C ports and the ability to tap to get a rough battery approximation. Specs-wise, it's powered by a 7th gen Intel Core processor. The Pixelbook starts at $999 for the i5 model with 8GB of RAM and a 128GB SSD. For $200 more, you get double the storage, while the top-of-the-line unit nets you an i7, 16GB of RAM and 512GB of NVMe SSD storage for $1,649. This has been the case for quite a while now, but the Pixelbook Pen, both in silver and midnight blue, are also unavailable from the Google Store, though a $100 sleeve is still shipping. Checking in on other Pixelbook products, just the middle Core i5 Pixel Slate, the 8GB, 128GB of storage model, is out of stock, while all four Pixelbook Go variants are available in just black, although not pink is completely sold out. So that was a bite-sized overview of all the top news stories of the day. For further insight, you can read all of these stories in full detail and much more over on 95google.com and subscribe to the 95 Google Daily on Google Play, Google Podcasts, or via your favourite podcast player to get updates from Monday through Friday. For more detailed and in-depth news, be sure to subscribe to our long-form Alphabet Scoop podcast, which is usually available every Wednesday.